And I always found the more excitement in their voices when they did those shows than when they talked about their own music. And you'd actually wind up in the same place as a journalist, as a music writer or whatever, where you'd learn all you want to learn about the artist, but you would learn it through their love of other people's music instead of their own, which they were kind of getting bored of answering the same questions anyway. The part that got interesting once I discovered the song and learned a little bit more about them was to then make a connection between the song and the artist. And it's when those two things were interesting is when the story got good. And these are the 35 where I thought they all got good.
I have to bring up Jeff Tweedy. He had a tough time deciding between The Birds Turn, Turn, Turn or Monkeys Daydream Believer. Did other people have a hard time? Did you catch them off guard with that question, trying to figure out what that one key song was for them?
Yeah, I mean, in many cases, it really was as simple as I know what it is and let's just do it. Michael Stipe knew immediately it was Patti Smith, although he went on and talked a lot about bubblegum music with me and his passion for it. But he knew Patti Smith's song changed his life. But sometimes they were indecisive or I don't have one. And when I got to those I don't have one ones, they were usually the longest conversations that involved more like a session on the couch with your therapist than anything else. And they got interesting. And Tweedy was one of them where, you know, he didn't think he had one. And when it really came down to it, when we really drilled in, it was less about the Monkees' Daydream Believer than it was about Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds. In that case, it was sonically how important that song was.
I'll use this as an excuse to include Wilco. I thought it was nice that you had someone who was inspired by Wilco, Courtney Barnett, and I wasn't familiar with her until the book. I guess you consider a contemporary alternative artist?
The great thing about this, and this is what I hope things like this happen to people, which is if you don't know Courtney Barnett, but you read Tweedy and you know about his love for Dylan and things like that, then run and listen to Courtney Barnett. I mean, her lyrics are as exciting as when I first started to listen to the words of Bob Dylan. She's an Australian. She's 23. She's funny, maybe funnier than Dylan, although Dylan was pretty funny and biting. Her music may be more edgy than maybe the Dylan guitar people, folk guitar people might jump for. But she's a really interesting contemporary artist. And she fell in love with Wilco and a song called Handshake Drugs because it got her to think about a song as more than just a verse and a chorus. Realize that there's a lot more interesting ways to go about taking that song form. And it was very inspiring to her.
Saxophones started blowing me down. I was buried in sound. Taxi cabs are driving me around to the handshake drugs I bought downtown.
Regina Carter seems a good example of someone who can use the violin for several different modes of music. How affection for maybe classical can lead to something that's a little more in touch with what she's courting, although she does a little bit of that too.
Well, I mean, someone like Regina Carter, whom people might not know, is a great violin player. But, you know, in learning violin when you're a kid, it's often that you learn the violin in the context of classical music. My own son learned violin in the context of Irish music, but easily could have been one of the many who learned in the context of classical music. And Regina, who grew up in Detroit, had a rich heritage of all sorts of music, and she'd start hearing these musics, including Motown, that had violin in it. And she was like, my instrument can make that music? Well, that's pretty fascinating. And it really opened up her ears to playing blues and so forth down the line and jazz, and she's just a remarkable violin player.
Do you have a favorite story in all these? Of the 35 in the book?
I think Sturgill Simpson was the story that moved me. For those who don't know Sturgill, he grew up in Kentucky. People playing bluegrass around the house, not just, I mean, people played music for the fun of it, you know, and I admire that. But Sturgill grew up and went into the military for a while, came home, bit of a lost soul, went to what he would describe as all the wrong parties and met all the, quote-unquote, all the wrong people, and sort of lost himself. And one day he's driving down the road in Kentucky, and the song on some, as he says, public radio station came on. It was a version of, it was Bill Monroe's Wayfaring Stranger. And the words of that song had him pull his truck over and break down and just realize that what he needed to do was to find himself again and to do it through playing music and become a musician. And that story happens in many ways, shapes, and forms in this book, where people hear something and they say, I have to do that. This is me. This is what my future is. And I love that.
I am a poor wayfaring stranger, traveling through this world below.
Are you to the point where you're tempted to ask anyone the same question you ask the musicians in your book?
Invariably now, every conversation I have seems to be about people, and I love this, wanting to tell me about the song that changed them. And there are more people who have that story than, you know, I can imagine. I knew it touched me, but I was kind of a bit of a music nerd more than lots. But I don't think you have to be a music nerd to have a song change you. And one of the other reasons I love this.
I'm just going.